EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
Number 71, Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
Number 71, Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. It's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy?
Who is that?
Did we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Same airplanes.
Howdy, dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, man, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone, thanks for stopping by wherever in the world you're listening from. We have listeners in over 65 countries, so if you have had an experience in a country we haven't featured yet, get in contact. Everybody is welcome to share. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. We've got Mike coming on in a moment. But first, I would like to say a big thank you to Casey Edwards for becoming our newest patron and supporting the show. It really does mean a lot to me. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, Nick.
It's great to have you here today. Now, Mike, you're not just from New Jersey. You're from the Wicked Garden podcast.
That's correct, sir. Yes.
To all the listeners, could you explain what your show is all about, please?
Wicked Garden Podcast is a paranormal, New Jersey-centric. About half of the subjects we do are things that have happened in New Jersey. But we, you know, we'll do just general subjects too. Bigfoot, UFOs, hauntings, ghostly activity, pretty much anything. I'm a lifelong experiencer of a lot of different phenomena. So we kind of wanted to give people a place to come and tell their stories without, you know, any fear or ridicule or anything along those lines. So that's kind of what we're doing. We're building our little community. And we just happen to live in New Jersey, so we chose the Jersey, the Jersey Devil and New Jersey for our home. So that's thus the Wicked Garden. New Jersey is the Garden State.
I like your logo with the Jersey Devil.
Jersey Devil, which is actually it's actually based off a political pamphlet. So it's actually not even a real cryptid. But hey, what the heck, it works. It's pretty nice.
Now, Mike, you're here today to share a sighting you had while camping a few years ago.
Yeah, sure. My wife and I, we're lifelong campers, and we tow a travel trailer, what you guys over there call caravanning. So what we do is we do seasonal camping. So what you do is you take the camper and you actually take it to a site and you stay there for the whole season. So you kind of park it. It's what they call park model. So you park it, you build a little deck on it in a nice little spot. And it's a real popular pastime here in the States. So about 7 years ago, we decided to take our, travel trailer and we moved it up, to Grand Canyon of Pennsylvania up in Wellsboro, PA. And we had always camped at the beach, but we wanted to get away and get up into the mountains a little bit. So we moved it up there and we actually went to, Wellsboro and actually had it in a little valley alongside a creek. Really nice little setup. So on this particular day, we had went over to take a little walk in the actual Grand Canyon. And they call it the Grand Canyon of PA. It doesn't hold a candle to the real Grand Canyon, but it's a nice little spot. So we were actually walking down in the canyon alongside the creek, and the day started weird. We had our dogs and we were walking. And I hate to admit it, but I wasn't really up on birds and wingspans 6 or 7 years ago, but we had a strange incident where we were walking the dogs down alongside the creek and we're headed down. and it's kind of twisty, windy, and we're walking, and all of a sudden this brown bird, huge raptor, comes down, and I'm looking at this thing, and the wingspan was about 6 to 7 feet. Now, once again, knowing what I know now, I would know that that was really an odd sighting. Back then, I just thought, wow, you know, these golden eagles up here are huge. So the bird comes down, it kind of floats past us, and there with the dogs. And the weirdest thing was, it just seemed significant. It seemed like something, there was just something weird about that bird. And it kind of, you know, put its head right on us and kind of looked at us. And it was just a really creepy moment. So it was late in the afternoon, and we kind of got creeped out about the whole thing. So we got back in the car and we went back to the camps. And I just had it in the back of my mind. It was just odd. And I thought to myself, when I get a chance, I'm going to have to Google and see how big birds' wingspans are, because, you know, this was easily 6 to 7 feet, this wingspan. And it actually should have been probably closer to maybe about 4 or 5. So it was just a really odd sighting. So we get back to the camper, and we had decided that we were going to barbecue out. So my wife was inside, and she was preparing the food. And I was outside on the deck, and I was getting the grill going. And we were doing charcoal, so it's the only way to go. So we were doing that, and we were kind of getting the charcoal going. And I'm on the deck, and I'm facing to the west. And I'm looking up, and I see this orange ball in the sky. It was up at around between 2,000 and 3,000 feet, and it was a perfectly round orange ball that was glowing from the inside out. Now, it's kind of dusky. It's that time of a day when the sun's at a really low angle, so you could really tell that this thing was glowing. It was actually giving off a light. Also, there's a hospital in town, so we were used to helicopters. It was a trauma center. Helicopters would pick people up off the highway, trauma victims, and they would helicopter them in and land on the roof. So I kind of knew helicopters cruise between 2,000 and 3,000 feet. So I'm looking at this thing, and it's an exact altitude that a helicopter would usually be at. So that's what kind of gave me my bearings on how high up. And it was about 40 feet across, and it kind of moved really slowly in just like a crescent shaped arc. And it was kind of floating towards where we were in the campground. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm trying to figure out, what is this? What am I looking at? Am I seeing it? Just, it didn't look like, obviously there were no stars out yet. It wasn't late enough in the day. It wasn't the sun. Sun was behind the mountain. So just racking my brain, trying to figure out what this thing is, obviously not a helicopter. So I watched it for about maybe a minute, minute and a half, actually really wishing the thing would just go away because I couldn't make any sense of it. So finally, after a minute and a half, I decided to call my wife outside. So I said, hey, hon, can you come out here and take a look at this thing? And this is the really weird part of this story. She comes outside. She turns around. She looks up at this thing. She turns back to me and she goes, yeah. So she walks back inside the camper. So I said to her, you see what I'm seeing, right? It's an orange ball and it's glowing. She goes, yeah, I see it. And the weirdest thing, Nick, was it didn't seem like it was really like sticking with her. Like, it didn't seem like it's the oddest thing. Like you don't see an orange ball 40 foot across at 2,000 feet every day. And it just seemed like she was just, she couldn't focus on it. It was odd. And my wife is brilliant. And she, she's an executive vice president at a pharmaceutical company. She's a sharp girl. Just this thing just didn't seem to catch her attention for whatever reason. It was just really, but for me, I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, what's going on? So we're set up in this campground and there are campers across the way. So we actually didn't go up that much. So I didn't know too many people in the campground, but there were a group that was on their deck across from us and they were maybe like about 30 yards away. And I'm not, an extrovert, but there's an orange ball in the sky and I want to see, if somebody else sees this thing. So I called to their attention and I said, hey guys, you see this thing over here? Do you see it? Three or four of them got up, went over to the edge of the deck and they looked up and they saw it and they did the same thing. They just like, yeah, we see it. And they went back to having their conversation. It was the most bizarre thing I think I've ever seen. It was almost like it was there for me and nobody else. Everybody acknowledged seeing it, but nobody didn't seem to be impactful to them. So anyway, continued to float over and it kind of got directly over the campground. And I guess the whole sighting lasted about maybe 5 to 6 minutes. And then eventually what happened is it just started rising up in the sky, rising up, rising up, rising up. And eventually it didn't go fast. It just continuously rose up and it just eventually just completely disappeared from sight. So, food was done. We ate. I mentioned it again to her at the table, and she just said, you know, why don't you just eat, you know? And it was like nobody, it was like she didn't really want to acknowledge that it was there. It was the most bizarre thing. We kind of hung out that night. There's no television up there or any kind of, you know, other thing to do, but just sit out and read a book and have a fire. And I just couldn't shake it out of my memory. And she seemed to just be passing, you know, right by it and just moving on. You know, the next day we left. It was actually the end of the weekend and we went home and I didn't mention it in the car. And for about 2 weeks, I didn't mention it to anybody, which is the most bizarre part of it, because with all the stuff that's happened to me over the course of my life, you would think that I would be dying to tell somebody about this. And I found it kind of fading from my memory. And a few days went by, maybe like 4 or 5 days. And one day we woke up in the morning and she turned to me and said, what do you think about that orange ball we saw last weekend? You know, what do you think that was all about? So the weirdest thing was, it was almost like it was on delay for her. And as I got further away from the experience, I was starting to forget about it. And a solid 2 weeks went by before I actually mentioned it to a really good coworker in work, which is, like I said, unlike me. You know, that's something normally that I would mention. And it was 4 or 5 days before it really stuck in her head that this thing actually occurred. We actually saw it. It was not a Chinese lantern. It was not a helicopter. It was not a weather balloon, because there are some orange weather balloons. I went back and I did my homework. You know, I went, I looked at the different orange weather balloons that people have, and this was way, way bigger. And those balloons don't glow from the inside. So the whole experience was just really bizarre, not so much seeing what I saw, but just the way everyone around me reacted that day. And then also the way I reacted to it as time went on. So, you know, I know in a lot of cases, they say that these things can, you know, UFOs can affect the way, you know, our thought process is. And I just think a really good term from an abductee that I heard named Terry Lovelace was alien apathy. And Terry's a guest that we're going to have on coming up. But when I was talking to him, he had mentioned alien apathy. And it was something that really stuck out to me that, yeah, I mean, it sort of kind of affected the way I thought. I would have normally reported this to MUFON right away. That would have been something that I did. And because I waited a couple of weeks to talk about it, I never did actually report it to MUFON.
Do you think anything else happened that night?
I don't think we lost any time, if that's the road you're going down. I don't think experienced anything else that night. I haven't experienced anything since then. I had an odd sighting earlier in the summer here, but I've since learned that that was a drone. It was coming out of a Air Force base that was close to here. And I haven't had anything happen to me since. And I don't think we lost any time. You know, I don't know, but I don't. And it just was just a really, really bizarre sighting. And strangest thing was the memory loss. It was almost immediate for the people that were looking at this thing that day, except for me. And for whatever reason, as the couple of weeks went on, I started to think less, you know, of it. Now, I did do some more research and I found out there was a similar case in Pittsburgh, which isn't too far from where this was, where a gentleman saw the same orange ball. As a matter of fact, it was the first case came up when I started to do research. And he actually, this gentleman was actually he was a temporary employee at a factory, and he was on his way in, saw this orange ball, passed over him on the highway, and he actually forgot to go to work. He knew what exit he was at, so he got off the exit, and he didn't know whether he was going home or going to work. So he actually went home, and he got home, and his father said to him, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be working. And so, you know, I know that there's a similar case out there that, you know, somebody experienced their experience was similar to mine with these orange balls. And I've seen a lot of orange ball cases out of Australia, and the orange balls have been, you know, pretty steady as UFO phenomenon goes since the 70s. So that's pretty much the story. It was very odd.
I had a guest on a few weeks ago, Steve, whose father and some other family members were present at his sighting. His father claimed he didn't see it, and the other members refused to even talk about it.
Yeah. Like I had mentioned, you know, Terry Lovelace is going to be on the show. And if you read his book about getting abducted in Devil's Den, he talks about alien apathy. And it was something that I was reading the book for the interview. And when I heard it, it just really hit home. It's almost like they can affect your memory and affect the way you're thinking.
And did you have any previous sightings?
No sightings before before. I've had other paranormal things happen to me, a lot of ghost stuff from when I was a kid, but never anything UFO or alien related up until that time, and nothing since then.
Would you like to tell us about your paranormal experiences?
Yes. Yeah. When I was a kid, you don't mind me talking about those. When I was a kid, one of the first things that happened to me, and I was actually just talking to my mother about it. We were rehashing it. I was 4 years old and I had what's commonly known as a crisis figure. And I didn't know it at the time, of course, because I was 4 years old. But what happened was I was in my bedroom. I was, you know, going to the closet to get another toy or whatever. And I opened up the closet door. And my grandfather was standing there. Being 4 years old, I thought it was the neatest thing in the world. How did he do that? You know, how did he appear in the closet without me knowing? And he looked down at me and he said, "Hey, buddy, I'm not going to see you anymore." I knew something was odd about, you know, grandpa. So I slammed the door shut. I ran over to the covers. You know, some time goes by. I go downstairs. That, like any 4-year-old kid, it happened 5 minutes ago. It might as well happen in another lifetime. So I go downstairs, and we're downstairs. And the next thing you know, the phone rings, and my mother and father are suddenly leaving and getting my cousin to come around, you know, from around the corner and babysit us because my grandfather had passed away. My cousin came around and actually took us in the car and took us to the screen. So that was one of the first things that happened to me, was that crisis figure. So that was definitely odd. And then my grandmother's house in Philadelphia when I was growing up had a lot of strange activity going on with it. So we actually had the first thing that I can remember over there was an Easter Sunday when all the boys were inside. My grandmother had one of those player pianos where you just pump the pedals and it plays a song. So we were in there. We always liked to play around with that, the boys, when we were over at our house. So we were in there doing that, hanging out, playing with the piano. And all of a sudden, down the stair steps runs my aunt. And she is falling down the stair steps, and she's hysterical. So the adults get her calmed down, and she turns to my grandmother, and she says, "I was upstairs in the bathroom using the facilities, and the next thing I knew, a shampoo bottle came off the rack, floated to the middle of the bathtub, and dropped down." So they had some crazy stuff going on over there. That was the first time that I was there when something happened. As I got older, I was always a big kid. I matured at a really early age. So they had owned a bar. We went over to my mother, actually, with the bar, and she would close the bar. She was a barmaid. So my mother would take me over while she closed the bar because I'm a bigger guy. And, you know, I would stand there and she'd give me some money to play the shuffleboard or whatever. So our mission was to bring the strong backs home to grandma, you know, with all the money in it. So we would do this in the summertime. We went over probably about midnight or 1 o'clock after the bar closed, and we brought her to strong box, and we're in the kitchen and they're making coffee. And my grandmother, it was a great storyteller. We loved to sit down and listen to her stories. So, as we were sitting there listening to her stories, drop ceiling, where you have like the grid, the metal grid, and those little tiles are in it. So as we're sitting there, all the tiles, a couple tiles start jumping up and down in the grid. So at first we thought it had to be a rodent, some kind of mouse or something along those lines. And this went on for maybe like 30 seconds. And the next thing you know, it went crazy. They're all jumping up and down and we're standing there looking at it. And it was just amazing. And then it did it for a good, probably 45 seconds to a minute, and then it ended doing everyone on the outside of the grid all the way around. And we were just like, wow, that was amazing. A lot of stuff happened to me at my grandmother's house when we were over there. We had a lot of ghostly activity, and it was always happening. We had a medium come in over there who had told us that it was actually a gentleman who was a fruit vendor in the city. It was him and his younger daughter who had died at a very young age. And there was actually a story tied into that. My uncle, who lived over there with my grandmother, he was, you know, just a bachelor his whole life. So he eventually lived with my grandmother over there. My grandmother had went away for the weekend one weekend, and my uncle was over there by himself. And my uncle was a really tough guy. He had a stutter. He was young. So he got teased ungodly, you know, because that's the way kids are. And he was a really good fighter, but a really tough guy. Not a lot scared, Uncle Tom. So one night he called the house and he was hysterical. He wanted us to come over and get him. Wasn't going back in the house. So we're like, well, what happened? So we actually went over and got him. And he wasn't going to go back in the house. So he told us the story. He had come out of the back bedroom. We have row homes over here, which I know you guys have too over there. But, you know, there was a staircase at the back and he had come out of the staircase and he was actually headed over to go to the bathroom. And he happened to glance down the staircase and he saw a little girl sitting on about the fourth step up. And that was not unusual because my cousins lived across the street. So he assumed it was my cousin, Tisha. So he said to this little girl sitting on the fourth step, "Hey, Tisha, what's the matter? You know, why did you come over? Is mom okay?" And a little girl stood up, turned around, and she's looking at him, and she didn't have any facial features. It was just a blank face, and her body was cut off from the knee down. So he screams, lets out a yell, and she goes jetting across, like floating across the living room, and she bounces into a recliner, bounces off, and actually goes into a coat closet. And he ran outside, went over to the neighbors, called us, and he was not going back inside. And my uncle said, "You know, I'm not going back inside." My mother said, "Michael, you got to go back in. You got to, you know, lock the door and turn the lights out." And I said, "Hey, Mom, I will lock the door, but I am not going back in there and turning those lights out." And he slept at our house that night. We took him home, and he actually slept in pajamas barefoot from home the next day when he was not going back to that house. So we actually had a lot of stuff happen. And then when I had my house, when I met my second wife, we bought a house in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And we had a couple things happen there. We actually were renovating and we were actually redoing the basement. We were remodeling the basement. So we headed down to the basement. We were finishing up that day and we were just finishing up the paint and actually moving furniture around. And as we placed the last piece of furniture, a voice said, "This looks lovely." And it was a female's voice. And the oddest thing was, it sounded like it was coming from any particular direction. It was almost omnidirectional, almost like, over here in our schools, we have the, you know, public address announcements and they kind of sound like, you know, they're coming from everywhere. That's basically the way it sounded. So we had that happen there. And the last day we were leaving that house, when we were moving to New Jersey, all our furniture was out of the house. And I was the only one there with a mattress. My wife was down here. We're empty nesters, so the kids have been gone for a while. She had the dogs here, and I was alone in that house, and it was the morning. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was getting dressed to go to work. And I was sitting on the edge of that mattress just tying my shoes, and I was looking directly down the hallway. And the bathroom door went from being completely closed, being completely open in a half a second. It just with incredible force, just opened up, and it did not hit the wall. It didn't crash into the wall or anything. Signs. And I'm looking at this. I'm watching the whole time. So I actually called my wife and I said, "You're not going to believe what I just saw." And she's like, "They're probably mad we're leaving, you know, because there was no furniture in the house at that point." And they're probably thinking, "Hey, you know, this guy's on his way out of here." So that was some of the stuff that happened on our house in Bethlehem. But I've had stuff happen to me haunting wise and ghost wise my whole life, but not anything really with UFOs until that one day. Yeah, I've had precog dreams too. I get those on occasion, but yeah, it's I kind of wish it would stop.
Yeah, precognition really fascinates me.
Well, I get precog dreams that are very similar. As a matter of fact, I just had another one. I talked a lot about my experiences in first episode of my podcast, but since then, I've actually had another one. My mother is actually in hospital. And she's pretty bad off. We don't think she's going to be coming back out, but she's had a good long life. I mean, she's, you know, and she's at peace with it. So a week and a half before she went into hospital, I woke up and in the middle of the night, it was probably like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I just shook my wife and I said, "Hey, something's wrong with my mom. Something's going to happen to my mom." And my wife knows at this point that, you know, when I have a precog dream, you know, there's probably something to it. It doesn't always happen the way I dream it's going to happen. Like I specifically thought my mother had gotten into a car accident. And I called the next day. I, of course, didn't tell her, "Hey, Mom, I had a bad dream about you," you know, but I called her the next day and I said, "Hey, are you okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm okay." You know, we had nice little banter chit chat. Everything was okay. And then about 72 hours later, my father called me and said that she had went to ICU intensive care. So. Yeah, I'll have these precog dreams from time to time. I had one about a aunt that had cancer, which was probably the worst one I've ever had. She was still alive, and I was actually dreaming that you know, she was dead and was having a conversation with me as she was dead. And she was talking about a lot of morbid stuff, you know, that I won't share here. But unfortunately, they never happened to tip me off to, you know, a Super Bowl winner or anything along those lines. It's always some horrible, you know, thing that's going to happen to a relative or a friend or something along those lines. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm starting to believe that maybe time isn't linear, you know, as I get older. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Have you always had them, or was there a point when they started?
Now, pretty much from the time I was, figure around maybe 13 or 14, all the way till now. And I've had probably about 6 or 7 in my head. Yeah, it's been a lifelong thing. It's a little draining. You don't know what to do, whether to call these people and tell them, or, you know, what do you do? I mean, what could they even do about it? You know, so it's...
Yeah, sure. And of course, you don't want to be panicking them.
Right, right. I mean, how do you have that conversation? So...
And also by telling them, it might be cause and effect. And by making them change their intention for that day, it might lead them to the danger.
Right, right. Suppose it doesn't happen. Yeah, exactly. So, and I've had a couple that haven't happened. You know, I've actually had a couple where I've dreamt something and it didn't happen. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's tough. It puts a lot of weight on you.
It's a bit like Christopher Walken in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Stephen King movie?
Yeah, The Dead Zone.
Yeah, well, it is a little bit like that. I'm not a vivid dreamer anyway. That's the odd thing. When I have a dream, it's usually meaningful. Most nights I don't dream. You know, I'm not really a dreamer. Now, my wife is the complete opposite. She'll be jogging in place in bed some nights. But me, I just don't. It's not something that I do. I'm not, you know, like a dreamer. And when I have one, they're always unpleasant.
Yeah, I also run in my sleep.
My wife is too. She goes crazy. She'll wake up in the middle of the night. I kind of got to get her oriented as to where she is. She forgets where she is. But I guess I'd rather put up with what I put up with than what she and you were putting up with.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Mike, and sharing your story.
Absolutely, man. Thanks a lot, Nick. It's been fun.
For the listeners, Mike, where can they find the Wicked Garden Podcast?
Yeah, they can find us over at wickedgardenpodcast.com. And we're on all the major podcatchers as Wicked Garden Podcast.
That's great, Mike.
Thanks, Nick.
Well, that's it for today. If you enjoyed the show, give it a quick share, as it helps us to reach more people. And if you have had an encounter you'd like to share on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. And we will be back next Friday. Stay safe and have a great weekend. You who killed the man.
of independence to our land. And we all saw change the game as you jumped up on his horse and asked his name. He said, I'm Leopold, and you're the man they sent to kill me, I've been told. You're the only man I know won't fight for gold, and that's why you're my best friend. We've been brothers all along to the end, and our path crossed once before. It was many years ago before this war. And I gave you your name. It's what I've come so many miles to explain. You're the son I never got to hold, and your name is Leopold. And at least before you killed me, you were told. Die at your side and behold my only son as he cries. Your mother still waits for you. Please tell her that you killed me when this is through. She dreamed this most every night. Go and tell her that she was right. We both sat on her horse late at night. She always said it'd be you. My wife, but that is why I came, to say hello, shake your hand, and tell you your name. Your name is Leopold. Now my son, take this land. Tell your mother I succeeded in my plan. I met my only son, and I gave to him my land and all my guns. You are Lee. Son, and now I die.